are they just two big lumps of concrete sticking up there that are no use anymore, or have they actually become something different and something worth preserving? I mean, when you come into Dublin City, you come in by ferry, there they are. They're like a you know, welcome beacons. You fly in over Dublin Bay into Dublin Airport, there they are. You know, they're just, I think they've become something else, something worth exploring.
Does the spire not serve the same function now, though? Visible from very many parts of the city, not as many as the pigeon towers, obviously.
Spire's principle, I mean, look, I'm not an engineer, I'm not an architect, you know, I'm just sort of, you know, I suppose I just enjoy the kind of cityscape. I don't have any background in engineering or architecture, but I suppose for, you know, when people are designing things like these, they're designing them to serve a function. And I think the spire, to me, I mean, lots of people hate it, I think, but I mean, the spire for me served a function in that it contracted, it gave a definition to a Collins Street. It replaced, obviously, had Nelson's Pillar there, kind of in the more distant past on that point. But the spire is related to Collins Street and the wider area. I think the pool bag towers, they're something else. You know, that they were, like, you know, you think about a pool bag for years. There was an area maybe people didn't really go to very much. It was a small park there in Irishtown, which is really attractive, but it's on the edge of that whole kind of industrialized, reclaimed kind of zone. And I think, you know, between the South Bull Wall, which is extremely important and wonderful piece of history, the towers, and maybe even that area, you know, they could become conduits for regenerating that area a bit
All
more.
Right. You're one voice in favour anyway. Damien, icon or eyesore?
Hey, Philip. I agree entirely with Garrod. He has a very good ground information. But I know all about those chimneys because I was here when they were built. And they were built to service the city with electricity. And they served that purpose for the last 40 years faithfully. And they are in nobody's way.
And was there much in the way of complaint at the time that they went up? Were there many people saying, God, would you look at those ugly lumps of concrete?
We are an industrial part of the city down here, and we understood perfectly well that there had to be generation of electricity for the city. Because don't forget, Phil, that we also provided the gas company premises, where gas for over 150 years was produced down here at Mackin Street. And, you know, nobody thought that they might keep the four little ships that used to cross over to Wales and bring the coal that kept this country heated for over 100 years. Now, in relation to the two chimneys that we're talking about, they are in nobody's way. The excuse that is being trotted out, and it's not for the first time, that they have to paint them, is a minuscule expense. And as Garrod has mentioned to you there, this particular area of the Shelley Banks Pigeon House Fort, it's steeped in history. Captain Bligh of Mutiny on the Bounty set out the Great South Wall. And we have a unique peninsula down here called the Poolbeg Peninsula. But slowly and surely it has been destroyed between sewage plants and trying to put up incinerators that nobody wants. We told them that they weren't needed. Now they have decided that they're not needed, but it's 100 million euros of taxpayers' money later. And if they would have listened to us when we said it,
Okay, you're getting into a different thing here, but you did start out by saying, Damien, that you're a very pragmatic bunch down there and that you see that you are part of or living in a part of the city's functioning industrial landscape. So if you're going to be pragmatic about it, there is another potential use for this place and for that site that won't involve or won't need having the chimney stacks there.
Are you talking about more high-rise office buildings, such as we have on the east wall and the north wall, and family-unfriendly habitation for unfortunate people? That is not what we want down there.
No, I'm talking about all of the industrial development that is needed for any big city, and that this is, because it's not currently a residential area.
Yeah, and it occurred to you that possibly those two chimneys might be needed for that industrial development.
I don't know, but ESB says no.
It occurred to me, and I am told by the engineers that we had working every 5 years to come up with this plan, And, you know, they were supposed to be protected, these two chimneys. And, by the way, that they have been painted. And they form artwork in various places all over the world.
Can you clarify that point that Gerard raised then? Is there a preservation order of some kind on them, or was it sought and not given by Dublin City Council?
It was sought and not proceeded with. We were led to believe that they were going to be protected. And then suddenly somebody comes out of the blue and it stopped. But they are protected in this way, that when the incinerator was threatened, I brought over a delegation from the European Parliament to see what they were doing on the peninsula. And they were absolutely amazed at the beauty of Poolbeg Peninsula. It has the format of a beautiful area for tourist attraction and the creation of jobs. And I have no doubt at all that given a little bit of expense, it can be turned into that.
Okay, two voices in favour anyway, Damien and Giraud, thank you both very much. Okay. What do you think, folks? Should they stay? Should they go? Are they an icon? Are they indeed an eyesore? Maybe the Poolbeg Peninsula might be even more beautiful, as Damien suggests, but with their absence. Geraldine, you're not a dub. The Pigeon House, the Poolbeg chimney stacks, raise them or retain them?
Oh, retain them.
Really?
Definitely.
Why?
Yes, because I think they're beautiful. They're unusual, but they are. Our architectural heritage is not just about beautiful old houses. It's about more unusual buildings, and these two chimneys are part of that heritage, and I think they must be retained.
600-foot-high lumps of concrete, still blackened with smoke, and red and white rings of crumbling paint painted around them.
That's not beautiful, is it? Yes, they are beautiful. They are, and they're very much a part of that bay and the whole city and bay skyline. I think it would be a huge loss if they were to go. And I think the ESB saying that it would cost money to paint them is laughable, really.
Well, everything costs money. Mm-hmm. I mean, why shouldn't the painter be paid?
Well, I didn't say the painter shouldn't be paid. I said it's laughable that the ESB say they want to take them down because it's going to cost money to paint them.
Well, would it be so laughable if you see a couple of extra pence being added onto the bottom of your ESB bill?
Are a couple of extra pence that much?
Okay. Well, I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I don't like using words like iconic because they are terribly overused, but those chimneys really are iconic. And in my opinion, they should be kept.
Maybe it's because you're not a dub. Maybe it's because you're not looking at them every day that you feel this way.
Oh, I think if I was looking at them every day, I would love them just as much.
I'm actually surprised. I'm flabbergasted. There hasn't been, well, I won't say a single, but there hasn't been that many people one way or another who have argued that they should be torn down.
I would be very surprised if it actually comes to tearing them down if there's not a huge outcry.
Kevin, you remember when they went up in the first place?
Yes, a long, long time ago. I think it was about 40-odd years ago now. There was a very eccentric Dublin City Councillor called Sean Loftus. I think he actually became a TD.
Sean Dublin Bay Rockall Loftus.
Sean Dublin Bay Rockall Loftus, he changed his name to. Well, I remember it. I think it was in the evening press. There was a picture of him standing somewhere at the Dublin end of the wall, of the Poolbeg wall, and he was giving a two-fingered gesture, and he called the twin chimneys the ESB's two-fingered gesture to the people of Dublin. And, you just asked if there were any protests at the time, and there were. Now, I have an extremely nice little watercolour of them, painted from Bull Island by my brother-in-law. So I would favour keeping them, but I just thought it was a nice bit of history.
So there were protests 40 years ago on the part of some, well, Sean Dublin Bay Rockall Loftus anyway.
Yes, there were, yeah.
Okay.
I think 40 years ago. ago, I'd have been against them, but I really like them now, you know.
Okay. Another two in favour. Is there anybody out there who feels differently? 1-850-715-815.
1850-715-815.
Looking at a new 142? Well, whatever your price range, you can't afford not to look at the SEAT range with SEAT Solutions. With a €142 three-year service plan, plus 3 years free road tax across the entire 142 SEAT range. Offer now extended for a limited period only. Order your new 142 before July 31st. So find your nearest SEAT dealer now, as well as your new 142 at SEAT.ie. Terms and conditions apply.
SEAT. Coming up on RTE Radio 1, Derek and the team look at the challenges facing Ireland's 101 known species of bee. We get the latest on Leona, the loggerhead turtle stranded in Galway, and get up close and personal with sea eagles in County Clare. Mooney Goes Wild, after Lifeline.
The World War One Roadshow takes place in Trinity College Dublin on Saturday, July the 12th. RTE Radio 1's Sunday Miscellany will be there live, with new contributions written specially for the event. If you would like to be part of the audience, reserve your seat at rte.ie/radio1/Sunday Miscellany. World War One on RTE. Brought to you by RTE Radio 1 in association with Trinity College Dublin and the National Library of Ireland.
1850-715-815.
Armani, no less, considered the Poolbeg Towers a suitable backdrop for one of their campaigns. Boo, were you the photographer?
Yes, I was indeed the photographer for that shoot. And they're very beautiful. I don't think they should be knocked down at all.
Boo, can I ask? Can I ask you about your name? Were you christened Boo?
Yes, indeed, yeah. My mum was a very liberal mother.
And what were your other names?
Well, my sister's called Shash, and my little brother's called Tricky. So it was fairly kind of left-wing mother, you know. And so I don't think she went for the conventional names.
Did she give you a conventional middle name?
David.
Very good. Boo, David. And what's your second name, your surname?
George.
Okay. Let me bring in Dennis. Dennis, yes or no, icon or eyesore?
Absolutely, keep them. An
keep
amazing
them
icon. And not only that, Philip, but a huge tourist opportunity. You could send a lift up one side, build a bridge between the two of them, a viewing bridge of the city and the port, and a lift down the other side, and the city council stands to make a fortune.
There's thinking.
So we could utilise them.
There's thinking, absolutely. Dennis, thank you very much. Boo, thank you very much. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Today's programme was produced by the series producer, Siobhan Hawk. We'll be back at the usual and proper time, hopefully, on Monday afternoon. Until then, from everybody on Live Line, goodbye. Thanks for listening.